Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Continuing Education Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
W.W. Hawkins, whoever he or she may be, sent us this list of courses from an adult education place. These are classes for men. And then it says, due to the complexity and difficulty level of their contents, each course will accept a maximum of 8 participants only.
Got it.
And here are some of the topics which are being taught in this class. Topic one, how to fill, this is for men now.
Yeah.
How to fill the ice cube trays, step by step, with a slide presentation. Topic two.
Have you ever filled an ice cube tray?
No.
Unless you were directed by your wife to do so?
No.
Even then?
Even then.
Yeah. Have you put the empties back in the freezer? I've done that.
I never take the tray out of the freezer.
You just take whatever you need.
I just take whatever I need.
Yeah. And I always make sure I leave one cube in the tray.
I whack the thing on the side, boom, and a couple of things pop out, a couple of cubes pop
out. And you're all set.
You grab those, throw them in the glass, and you leave.
Yeah.
But see, this course might have helped me.
Well, maybe.
How about this one? The toilet paper roll. Do they grow on holders? Roundtable discussion. Topic four. I skipped one. Fundamental differences between the hamper and the floor. Pictures and explanatory graphics. I like all the audiovisual aids.
Yeah.
Topic. The after-dinner dishes and silverware. Can they levitate and fly into the kitchen sink? Examples on video. Learning how to find things, starting with looking in the right place instead of turning the house upside down while screaming. There will be an open forum on this one. What?
If my wife didn't move stuff around
to drive
me insane, I would find everything. You know what it would be? Where I had left it.
See, and that's why they can find the stuff all the time.
They move it.
Because they are the ones who move it around.
There you go.
Topic. Is it genetically impossible to sit quietly as she parallel parks?
Mm.
Driving simulation. How? This is a good one. How to be the ideal shopping companion. Relaxation exercises, meditation, and breathing techniques. And it says, upon completion of the course, diplomas will be issued to the survivors. If there are any.
Well, I got to say that I could benefit from each and every one of those.
Couldn't we all?
Well, if you think you can benefit from anything we might say, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Manny, and I'm calling from Trumbull, Connecticut.
Manny?
Yes.
Hi, Manny. Trumbull.
Trumbull, Connecticut.
Trumbull. I've passed that on some road. What, 95?
Actually, it's off of Route 8.
Oh, we used to sing that song, The Trumbling Trumbleweeds.
The Trumbling Trumbleweeds.
Anyway, what's going on?
I have a bit of a question. I have an 88 Chevy S10 Blazer with a 2.5-liter four-cylinder engine, and for some reason it doesn't like our new home.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. My fiance and I just purchased a house in a town about a half hour north of where the car spent its entire life. And for some reason, when it rains, the vehicle will not start at the new home. But if I am at work or closer to sea level, the car starts each time when it rains.
Doesn't anyone screen these calls? It's parked outside, obviously.
Yes, it is.
And you moved north how long ago?
Probably about 3 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago.
And how soon after you moved north did you notice this little problem?
It started happening slowly at first, if I can recall, and then it occasionally got worse and worse to the point where now it doesn't start at all.
So what do you do when it doesn't start? Well, you cranks and cranks and cranks and doesn't fire up, is that right?
Exactly. But when the sun comes out and it dries up, starts right up.
Yeah, well, that's good so far. Now, the other half of the story is if you go back south to where you used to live and it rains.
It starts right up.
Starts right up. You know why? You know why?
I don't.
Because you don't sleep there.
Right.
He laughs. Isn't it the truth?
I'm with you.
Unless you...
Wherever you're going, I'm with you,
unless
man.
You, unless you have another girlfriend down there. I don't know.
I'll be working late tonight, honey.
Exactly.
Because if it did start down there, your fiancé would have a cause for being very nervous about the whole situation.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, what Tommy's getting at is he thinks that it has to be in the presence of a soaking rain for enough time for the moisture to penetrate the spark plug wires and keep it from starting.
Oh,
so if you do get it started, for example, by luck, and you drive it to work, the underhood heat generated is enough to drive off that moisture. And then even if it rains, you know, 4 or 5 or 6, 8 hours, it might not be enough to get the wires wet enough.
And so it starts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it also may have something to do with where you park. When you're at work or when you were further south, you may have parked in an area that gave you some protection from the wind, the wind-driven rain.
Try sleeping at your desk some night, and I'll bet you if it's raining, it won't start the next day.
Especially if you're parked in an unprotected, similarly unprotected spot.
And if you need some advice on sleeping at your desk, call me.
Yeah. Well, for that matter, anyone at Car Talk Plaza, we have expertise in sleeping on and under desks.
Yeah, I think you need spark plug wires.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that should be easy to do.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, you may also need a distributor cap and whatnot, but if you're lucky, the spark plug wires will do it.
Excellent. Okay.
Good luck, Manny.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I'm Marga from Sonoma, California.
Marga?
Marga.
Marga. You know, it should be Marga. I mean, of course, duh. Margot is a male name. It ends with an O.
It's totally different.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Just a different name altogether.
Yes.
Different root.
Yeah.
But it is spelled just M-A-R-G-A, or is
That's
there an
exactly
H, a couple of H's
That's
in there?
Exactly how it's spelled.
And where are you from?
Sonoma, California.
And what is the origin of the name Marga?
Well, I used to tell people it was Swedish, but then I went to Sweden.
And there's no one named Marga there.
And everyone said to me, that's a pretty name. Is that an American name? So, who knows?
Oh, so you don't know.
I really don't. I was named after my aunt. That's all I know.
Are you sure that your parents weren't at a Jimmy Buffett concert?
I wouldn't lay money on it.
They may have been.
They may have been. So what's going on, Marga?
Well, Ritaville. I have a 1985 Nissan Stanza wagon.
Hmm.
And I have a little bit of trouble making a right turn. I can't really make a right turn. I can go straight. I can make a left turn with no problem at all.
Yeah.
But when I go to make a right turn, it's kind of like a Big Mac truck that needs three lanes to do it.
Oh.
And it kind of veers to the right.
Oh.
And it's very, very hard to turn the steering wheel.
To the right.
To the right.
To the right. The left, no problem. I can make it around town making all left turns.
And
three lefts make one right, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Like two wrongs make a right, too. Let's not forget that. So you go through two stop signs, it's the same as taking a right.
So my question is this something that I can repair? Because I've been putting steering fluid into the, I mean, it leaks. It has been leaking for a long time.
Oh, yeah, and the reason it leaks is because the bushings in the rack and pinion are so worn out that it's causing the rack to bind. This is very dangerous.
Jeez, Marga, I mean, how long have you been doing this?
Not long.
No, you shouldn't do it a minute longer.
Are we talking minutes, days, hours, weeks? It's been weeks, hasn't it?
It's been months.
Weeks.
I'll tell the truth. All right, months.
Yeah, no, it's really dangerous, Marga.
Yeah, I have another car, so
oh,
I don't
good.
Use it. But
you got to fix it.
No, but should I get it fixed or should I sell the car?
Well, you'd have to junk the car, I think. It would be
yeah.
I mean, you couldn't sell it to anyone. How could they take a test drive? You'd say, oh, I'll drive down here and take a left. Okay, now when you get to the next corner, take another left.
No, don't take a right because it's a dead. They're all
dead. There's construction going on there. The street's all blocked up. How do you like it so far?
See, it would be a challenge.
It would be, yeah. It would be. So you've got to get it fixed because eventually
you
won't be able to make left-hand turns either. And what's even worse is that if you ever had to make an emergency maneuver.
We wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, and you could hurt somebody.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
We don't want to do that.
So
it's not worth it.
Okay.
If you are going to continue to drive it, I would tow it to your repair shop
and
tell them to put a rebuilt rack and pinion in.
A rebuilt rack and pinion.
Yeah, and it's going to cost a few $100. We have to warn you about that.
Well, that's actually not as much as I thought. I thought it would be like in the thousands.
No. I mean, it may turn out that you need a power steering pump or you need hoses, too. I mean, that's a possibility. But but just for the rack, it's probably $500 or $600 at the most.
Oh, now first it was a couple hundred.
That's a couple in mechanics
talk. Well, yeah.
A couple in mechanics talk is $500, isn't it?
Okay.
It's under $1,000, so therefore it's a few $100.
Yeah, a couple of hundred.
You just kind of round it up that way.
We do.
Okay, well, I appreciate that, and I think I may junk it, but...
Yeah, you may want to.
But under no circumstances let anyone drive it.
All right, I hear you.
See ya, Marga.
I'll swallow the keys.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I wonder if her parents considered Rita as another possible name.
Like Marga Rita?
Yeah, or Vil.
her middle name could have been Rita. Rita.
Maybe her middle name is Rita. And she never put the two things together.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is John from Minneapolis.
Hi. You don't know my friend Les Block, do you?
No.
Nobody knows Les Block.
What can we do for you, John?
Well, I'm going to be buying a new car.
Yeah?
My old car is a Nissan Sentra, 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if I should put mud flaps on my new car.
Geez, you know, it's funny that you should mention that.
What? You had a dream about mud flaps?
No, I didn't have a dream. I had a revelation about mud flaps.
Just walking around?
No, driving around.
Ah.
Now, maybe it's just me and my progression into old age.
Yes.
But I think...
I've been meaning to talk to you
about
this. But
I think not. I've noticed that when I drive on the highway and it's raining...
Yeah.
You can't see anything anymore. And it's not because, I believe, there are more cars and people are driving faster. I think it's the tires are doing something to throw up more water in the faces of the cars behind them. I mean, nothing's worse than following a semi if it's raining.
Don't get me started.
But it's just as bad now following an SUV. I'd rather almost follow a semi. Because at least you know if you have an accident with him, you're going to die. So to answer your question, I think every car should be required to have not only mud flaps, but something to contain the flow of mist.
Well, I mean...
And I'm not sure. It's not me. I want to find out if anyone else feels this way.
I can't say that I've noticed it.
But you don't drive.
That would do it. No, but I certainly have noticed it with trucks, and I want to know what conspiracy is it, or who's getting paid off, that you allow semis to drive in the rain. They should be not allowed to drive in the rain.
What, you wouldn't be able to get your Pearl shampoo if they didn't drive in the rain? And God knows you need it, especially the one with the conditioner in it. So, John, what do you think?
Oh, John! I forgot about John.
So what's the deal with mud flaps, anyway?
Here's the deal with mud flaps. I'm wondering, do mud flaps cause more corrosion than they prevent?
Oh, no, do they trap more stuff?
In the wheel well.
That's what I'm thinking, because that's where my Sentra's rusting out.
Hmm.
Well, I think it is true that mud flaps do tend to trap sand and salt in those vulnerable areas. And what happens is they rot away, and in many cases, the mud flap falls off. So then you have to keep moving the mud flap up. And eventually...
Or get longer and longer.
You have them hanging from the roof.
Actually, the mud flaps on my car are still there, but you know that little chunk of metal behind the front mud flap before the door?
Yeah, gone.
Most of that's gone.
Yeah, no, I mean, you bring up an interesting point. I mean, what if my brother is correct, and that progress in the manufacture of tires has, in fact, resulted in tires which shed water more easily and therefore do blind the person behind you.
That's my thesis, and I'm sticking with it.
I like it. Now, what if that's true? And at the same time, what John is saying is also true, that if we put mud flaps on the cars, then it's going to make the car rot.
What do I care about John's car?
You don't care about John's car, and he doesn't care about yours, and that's why we're stuck with politicians.
Oh, God.
I'd say, you got to get the mud flaps, John.
And what you have to do is make sure that you go to the car wash often enough in the winter.
Exactly.
To get the salt.
My point exactly, because John can do something about it, and he would be saving lives by not blinding the drivers behind him. You must get the mud flaps, John, and if you don't, I will get my friend Les Block from Minneapolis to kick your sorry butt.
Well, thanks, guys. I'll call the dealer today and tell him to put it on.
See you, John.
Hey, good luck, man.
Thank you.
This is a serious issue. We'll have to discuss this later.
It is a serious issue.
Hey, Tommy, do you remember anything about last week's puzzler?
Do I remember last week's puzzler? Do I remember last week's puzzler?
No, huh?
No.
You don't remember anything. Well, it's about a very odd little paragraph, and I'll have the whole paragraph in just a minute.
Oh, I remember it.
I had a 63 Chevy dual car, 10-4 on the floor. I chopped 396, hear the hormones and the engines roar. It was me and my buddies just cruising around. We were picking them up and we were shutting them down. You know we owned every back street in that little farm town. Well, we were young, we believed we were 17. Living on the weekends, gasoline. Every time I think about it, I still get a buzz. The older I get, you know the better I was. The older I get, you know the better I was.
And even though Oz wishes he was great and powerful enough to make us disappear, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk, of course, about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah.
And this puzzler was sent in by Robert Skidmore. He says, and I quote, "This paragraph is odd. What is its oddity? You may not find it at first, but this paragraph is not normal. What is wrong? It's just a small thing, but an oddity that stands out. If you find it, what is it? You must know your days will not go on until you find out what is odd. You will pull your hair out. Your insomnia will push you until your poor brain finally short circuits trying to find an oddity in this paragraph. Good luck."
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
The answer, of course, is that the letter E, one of the most commonly used letters in the English language.
According to Arthur Conan Doyle, it is the most commonly used letter.
It used to be.
Letter. Oh, it's not anymore?
No.
Now W is.
Yes. Exactly.
www.com.
Does not appear once in this entire paragraph. And just to show you how odd this is, this paragraph that I just read to you has 19 E's in it.
Really?
Exactly. Do we have a winner this week?
Yeah, we do. The winner is Linda Williams from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Linda gets a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which Linda can get one of our fine. You know, when something is really junk, that's when you use the adjective fine to describe it, don't you? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Anyway, Linda, you can get one of our fine best of Car Talk collections on CD. That's a fine product, isn't it?
Oh, yes. The finest. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so be sure to stay tuned for that. Right now, if you have a question about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Piali from Watertown, Massachusetts, right next to your fair city.
P-I-A?
That's it.
L-L-I?
Nope, one L.
Piali.
Yep.
And what nationality is that?
So I'm originally from India, from the much maligned city of Calcutta.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Cool.
So what's up, Piali?
I have a 97 Honda Civic, and whenever the temperature drops below freezing, which it seems to do quite frequently around here, the steering wheel makes this incredibly loud squeaking sound when I turn the wheel. And it also clicks if I jiggle it. But it's inversely correlated with the temperature, so as soon as the temperature rises or when the car's been sitting in the sun, no problem.
Right.
And the noise is coming right there from the steering wheel right in front of your nose.
I stuck my ear to it, and that's where it's coming from.
Forget about it.
Yeah, well, you can fix it, but it ain't going to be easy, and you may not ever really be able to eliminate it completely.
So what's the problem?
Well, what's happening is the steering column is rubbing against, or the steering wheel maybe even, is rubbing against the plastic that surrounds the steering column where you put the key.
Uh-huh.
You might want to experiment by taking that stuff off, taking those trim pieces off.
Yeah.
To see if you can find out the actual source of the rubbing, but you'll have limited time to do it. And because you have to do it when it's cold out.
So this is not going to be a dangerous problem.
No, right?
No. It's not a dangerous thing, but it's an annoying thing which could turn into dangerous.
Well, I think
course.
It's dangerous because whenever my husband drives the car, he's laughing so hard at the sound, he almost drives the car into a tree.
Well, see, the problem is that you are from Calcutta.
Yeah.
And if you were from Italy,
yeah.
You would have fixed this a long time ago.
What would I have done?
You'd have lost your temper, and you'd have whacked the hell out of it. And that might have fixed it. I mean, you might want to just whack it a few times.
Well, I did. I do whack it.
But you may be whacking it the wrong direction.
Okay.
I think you want to whack it from the bottom up.
Bottom up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you have to yell obscenities while you do it. At least that's how Uncle Vinny used to do it.
That's why we don't let Tommy in the shop anymore.
Does it have to be in Italian?
I don't know. We could do a little ethnic study here. You try some Indian obscenities and see if it works.
Okay.
Because we know that it works using Italian obscenities.
Okay.
Most of which start with...
I might suggest that you try... In the event the obscenities don't work, but I'm sure they will. You might want to try some silicone lubricant.
Okay.
I got it. Another idea for to get our ticket out of this dump.
What's that?
Spray can obscenities.
Ooh.
A lot of people don't know obscenities enough. In a can. And it's just feeding you.
Oh, better than that, it could be like one of those, remember the laugh bags that were popular about 25 years ago where you
That's
press
it.
The little button, the thing would just start laughing?
Yeah.
Well, try both approaches, but I'd try the silicone spray first.
Okay.
See you,
Piali. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Oh,
well. You know, for Valentine's Day, my wife gave me a heart-shaped box of candy with a big picture of Elvis Presley. And when you take the cover off the box, you hear, "Love me tender, love me true."
Is he singing or are you?
It's him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he still dead?
So we could make a little thing like that.
Yeah.
With obscenities in it.
I think so.
Take off the cover. You did it! Never mind.
Look for it on the Car Talk website.
Coming soon to a TV station near you.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Andy. I'm calling from Sitka, Alaska.
Oh, like the Sitka spruce.
Yes, exactly.
That's what they make guitar tops out of.
Yeah.
So what are you doing up there, Andy?
What am I doing?
I mean, I don't know why we should ask, but it just seems like for us down here in the lower 48.
Yeah.
Right. How many pairs of long underwear do you own?
And how many are you wearing right now?
Not enough.
Anyway, what's up?
Okay, well, I've got this 79 light Toyota pickup 4WD.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got it for free a year and a half ago, and I've just been milking it ever since.
Price is right.
Yeah, but these days, I get up in the morning, I turn it on and let it warm up for a few minutes, and I'm sitting in here having my coffee, and I could hear it making sounds like it's going...
What, you're sitting where? What are you, in your igloo? I mean, you shut this thing off? You can't shut this off.
Huh?
You should just start it up in September and let it run all winter.
Yeah. Right.
So by the time you get into the car, is the truck, is it still making noises?
Yeah, a lot of times it is. It's just, you know, it starts racing, and then it's like backing off, and then it's sort of like stuttering, like.
It's been a long winter, hi, Andy. Been a long winter. You've had a lot of time to
get a little lonely up there.
You don't know the half of it. Let me tell you.
Oh.
Long and dark.
Oh, man.
So what the hell are you doing up there? Haven't your parents called you every week asking you to come back?
All is forgiven. How long have you lived up there in Sitka?
I've been living up here on and off since 93.
No kidding.
Why?
Because it's so beautiful up here. Don't tell anybody down there that.
It's so
beautiful.
I get
to catch fish here.
So you get to catch fish and listen to your engine self-destruct.
Exactly. And pray about it.
That sounds like a thrill to me.
Not bad.
Hey.
But does the noise abate after the thing warms up? I mean, part of the reason it's making noises and backfiring and all that is because it's so damn cold. And the engines don't like to run when they're breathing ice-cold air.
Right.
But when it finally does warm up, i.e. the engine warms up,
yeah.
Does it seem to be lacking most of these noises then?
A bunch of them stop, and then it starts to race. My RPM thing is right. It's showing it's running at like 3,000.
Oh.
So you don't actually drive this thing. You just start it up so you can have some company. let me fire up the old songbird and listen to the engine run for a few hours. See, you don't go any place, do you?
Well, we only have 17 miles of road, so it doesn't really matter that much.
Doesn't even matter if it runs.
Yeah, I'm totally cut off living on an island out here. So
it's an island to boat.
You are a masochist, man.
Also,
you can catch fish.
Dude, it's the best.
You can buy fish.
You can go to a fish store, and for a couple of bucks, you can buy all the fish.
Yeah, they got some nutcases up in Alaska catching them for you.
Oh, boy.
You're right. I should move to Seattle.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, okay.
All right. So
you still have noises, but, I mean, again, now, a lot of it is probably due to the fact that the thing is revving so fast.
Well,
It doesn't like to rev that fast. That's no good. Does it ever come down to like 1,000 RPM?
It does. See, it's kind of weird because some days I'll be driving along, I'll stop at the stop sign, and it's working just fine.
Ah.
Right.
But then sometimes I'll drive to the stop sign, and it's like as soon as I take my foot off the gas, it wants to stall. And so I can barely get across town. I have to keep starting it up.
Good hint, Andy.
Yeah.
I think you have. This thing has a carburetor.
Right.
And it has a two-barrel carburetor. And I think what's causing the racing and the stalling.
Are you going to have a chance to use the answer that you used?
The choke
for
pull-off?
20 years?
No. Is that you have the secondary throttle is sticking. The primary throttle is the one that's actually operated by the gas pedal. If you were driving around at low speed only, you would only use the primary throttle. When you got out on the highway, if you ever did, and you stomped on the gas pedal, both throttles would open up, allowing you to go faster, you know, and travel at highway speed. When you took your foot off the gas and coasted, the secondary throttle would immediately close down. Yours doesn't. It sticks open. And you can find this out by getting a long, skinny screwdriver. Uh-huh. And with the engine racing, reach in where that secondary throttle is.
Take off the air cleaner first, right?
Yeah, take off the top of the air cleaner and look in there and push on that throttle. And you will either push it more open or you will push it closed. And when you do, the racing will disappear.
The noises.
Well, the noise is likely to be, on an engine this age, a timing chain.
Okay.
So it is the beauty of the place that is keeping you there all these years.
Yes. And it's nice because there's not such the hordes of people or the McDonald's.
Well, you know, I have to say that as much as I dislike the cold,
uh-huh.
That you make a point that the rest of what's going on is pretty bad.
Yeah, that's why I'm up here.
Starbucks.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that you have to go there. Wouldn't it be great if you could go to, like, Bermuda? Well, Andy, I hope you enjoy your stay there. If you ever come back, give us a ring. We'll have coffee.
Okay.
Because you know we're not coming up there. And good luck with your Toyota.
All right. Thanks for the info.
Hey, bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Andy has a lot of company up there. He doesn't know it yet. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello,
I might join him. You know, I'm getting sick of the crowds.
Go. I'll buy you the ticket tomorrow.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Lynn from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
L-A-N?
L-I-N.
Oh, Lynn.
Yes.
We didn't understand what you said because you said Lynn.
I'm so sorry.
No,
I'm using my teacher voice. Lynn.
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 I have a 97 Explorer, and it's making a whining noise on acceleration in the rear end.
Uh-oh.
Yes, and...
You're not going to like this.
Oh, dear. Well, I took it to a mechanic down the street, and he said, your rear end is going to drop out.
Really?
And you said, I beg your pardon?
And that is exactly what I said. Excuse me? And he said, it's going to drop out. It may not happen tomorrow, but in 3 months, it's going to drop out. And I could not get him to tell me exactly what I meant. You know, is it... My husband was on the phone, too, and he said, is it the differential? Is it the axle? What are you talking
about?
Well,
it's the differential, and that whole thing back there, which houses the differential gears. There are 6 gears in the differential and two axles and a couple of bearings and whatnot.
Right.
That whole thing is called the rear axle assembly.
Okay.
Specifically, what's gone are 2 gears, the ring gear and the pinion gear.
Okay.
And the reason you have this howling noise is the gear mesh is no longer proper, and can be caused by any number of things: failure of the bearing, wear in the gears, loss of oil, and the fix is to replace the gears. And nobody replaces the gears. Actually, what people do instead is
replace the whole
thing. They replace the whole thing. He'd go to
that's what he said, and I wanted to know if that's what I should do.
Yeah, he's going to go to a recycling yard.
Get an old one.
He's going to get an old one that's a little better shape than yours, and he's going to unbolt yours and put the new one in. And he's going to charge you, I don't know, $1,000 probably.
He said it could be anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000.
All right, he's going to charge you around $2,000 then. Yeah, I don't know.
That's a little steep.
You know, I was trying to adjust prices for Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Right, exactly.
And I figured $1,000 would be the right price.
Okay. Well, we're... about to give it to our eldest son. He's 15 and about to turn 16, so we've got to do this.
Yeah, has he got the 2 G's to fix this thing, or is he going to...
That's going to come out of our pocket.
It is, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
well, on the other hand, you know, you could just give it to him and tell him, oh, that noise has always been there.
He knows better.
He knows better, yeah. And the truth is you really do have to fix it because at some point the gears will crystallize and shatter.
And what will happen at that point?
Well, the car will stop.
The car will stop.
Well, at least the 2 rear wheels will. We don't know what the rest of the car will do.
Well, see, that's what my husband said. I'll just give it to him. Just let him drive it till it stops. I said, I don't want him stopping in the middle of an intersection and getting, you know, plowed into.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Not a good idea. So if it's really making as much noise as we think it's making, and if this fellow thought that in 3 months' time it was going to drop out, then I would say that he's probably... close to needing one, like, soon.
Okay.
On the other hand, I remember having this very problem in a GMC Suburban that I once owned, and I had it for years. Every time I went over 10 miles an hour, I thought the police were chasing me. It sounded like police sirens, and it never seized up. It never broke.
But that was you driving it. That wasn't your daughter or your son, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wouldn't want my daughter or my son driving, but if I broke down, who the hell was going to miss me?
No, in fact, we were praying every night. Maybe tonight is the night that those gears will seize up.
You know, so bad.
Yeah. Well, Lynn,
you got to fix it.
Yeah, I would say you're going to have to bite the bullet.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you so much. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Boy.
Okay, we're 2/3 of the way through the show. Do you know what that means?
Let's say 2/3 of 3/2. Cancel the 2, cancel the 3. Hey, we're done.
You're done, you knucklehead. We'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Run, 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 run. Run faster miles an hour. Run and try fast to stop and show.
And even though leprechauns pelt their radios with Lucky Charms whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I can hardly wait.
Did I ever tell you about Krusty's wedding?
No, I didn't even know Krusty was married.
Oh, Krusty's been married like 5 times.
No.
Yes, anyway, on the occasion of his most recent wedding, he had to take a long trip to meet his bride-to-be.
Yeah.
And, you know, the arrangements have been made.
If she dies, she dies. Is that mentioned here? No.
No, okay. No. And it was important that he get there. It was quite a distance away. I think it was in some place like Unadilla, New York.
Wow.
So
that's
he thought it was important that he should take his most reliable car. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to be late because she told him if you're late for the wedding and it's off.
It's off.
Absolutely off. And it's not every day that a geezer like him gets to marry a teenager.
Tell me about it.
That isn't a blood relative. So anyway,
yeah,
he fires up his most reliable car, his 65 Falcon, and he makes his way through Massachusetts onto Route 7 in New York.
Yeah.
And he's bebopping along and all's right with the world, and poof, the car backfires and dies, and he coasts to the side of the road. And he realizes immediately that his points have burnt out. And he says, oh, shucks. If only I had another set of points. And he opens the glove box, and to his amazement, is a brand new set of ignition points.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a salami sandwich.
That too. And as luck would have it, his entire toolkit is in the glove box. It consists of a screwdriver, a hammer, and a jackknife. So he opens the hood. He takes off the distributor cap and proceeds to remove the little screw that holds the points in.
Don't tell me he dropped it.
He deftly removes the screw, installs the new points, and drops the screw. Where does it go? Where it always goes.
Oh, yeah.
Inside the distributor. And he can't get it out.
Phew.
He can see it.
Mm-hmm.
He can even touch it with his screwdriver, but he can't get it out. He says, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Runs to the trunk, opens the trunk, and he finds in there, that's the kind of stuff you usually find in the trunk.
Another salami sandwich.
The jack.
Yeah.
Well, at first he considers jacking up the car and tipping it over onto its roof. And if you were to do that, the screw would fall out.
Sure.
But he dismisses that possibility because it might damage the paint.
Yeah.
He finds a 50-pound bag of dog food. He says, dog food? I don't even own a dog. He finds a junky old lamp that he bought at a garage sale. This was to be the wedding present for his teenage bride-to-be.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And a gallon of Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil.
The usual stuff.
Using one or a combination of these things.
He is able to extricate.
He manages to extricate the screw from its hiding place.
Inside the distributor,
within a matter of minutes.
Wow.
And he does not tip the car over on its roof.
All right, now, a jack?
Yeah, your standard bumper jack.
A bag of dog food?
Yeah, Iams, 50 pounds.
Iams, 50 pounds.
Yeah, or yours.
Doesn't have a dog.
Yorms.
an old lamp?
Yeah. A
salami sandwich?
And a gallon
and a
of
gallon
Filippo
Berio.
Extra virgin
olive oil. And using one or more of these items.
Yes.
And the screwdriver, the knife, and whatever else.
Well, and his entire toolkit.
And the hammer.
Right.
The entire toolkit, the screwdriver,
the jackknife, and the hammer.
Ah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
So if you know how he does it, send your answer to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or waste some precious electrons by emailing us your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is still 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Steve from Seattle.
Steve from Seattle.
How's it shaking?
This is an emotional support question. I'm currently driving a 1997 Toyota Camry. And you have to hear the whole story about how I got to drive the Camry. I've always been into cars. I've been a complete car junkie. And when I was younger, I had a Oldsmobile 442, and then I had a Volvo T1800, and then I had I made a little more money, and I really got into cars. I had some 7 Series BMWs, and last car
that
I had...
That explains why you have no money now.
No, it gets worse. The last car I had was a Ferrari, a 400i.
That'll explain it.
This explains it. What happened to me while I had the Ferrari is I got divorced.
And now you got a Camry?
And I like to get excited about my cars,
yeah.
So I need your help getting excited about a car with cloth interior and a 4-cylinder engine.
Yeah, I might take Viagra.
Jeez. Steve, give us a break here, will you?
Yeah. Do you have any hair left?
I've got some hair left.
Define some.
I've got a big forehead.
Which state is it comparable to in size?
Is it a Rhode Island?
Is it Texas or Rhode Island? Yeah.
Massachusetts.
Yes, it's like Massachusetts.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. Are you currently using anything to keep the borders from shifting? Well, you got to know these things, because if you feel good about yourself, it doesn't make any difference.
No. I'm not using anything to stop it. I'm just trying to stay in shape. And,
yeah.
Yeah. How long have you been divorced?
About 6 years.
Man, this is.
It's a dilemma.
Are you romantically involved with anyone at this point?
I actually got remarried.
You got remarried. I'll ask you again. Are you romantically involved?
The answer to that question is yes. With my wife.
Okay.
That's good.
You long for those days where you could have a Ferrari.
Well, maybe not. You may not need the Ferrari anymore. I mean, the Ferrari may have been simply a manifestation somehow of the unhappiness of your previous marriage. And now that you're remarried, hopefully more happily, you may not need a Ferrari to tell you that what
Thank
a wonderful...
Thank you, Dr. Laura!
I mean, the Camry may be fine.
I have the car for you, Steve.
I'm ready.
You're going to take you some to find one of these. But it's going to be the right car for you. An El Camino.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a 327 engine. Yeah, I don't know why.
I can see you. I can see him in it.
I could just see you now with the wind blowing through your bald spot and the whole bit. I can see you in an El Camino. I mean, I was going to recommend, something more affordable like a Z3, which you'd probably like.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, sure, he would like a Z3, but I don't think he needs it anymore. I think he's on his own now. I think he's become the man he wants to be.
You think so?
I think so. I think he doesn't need the car anymore to be a statement of who he is. I can feel it. You know, you sound happy.
I am.
You are.
Yeah. So
what does it matter what you drive? You could be on a scooter and it wouldn't matter.
No. He needs something to
feel good about.
To feel good about besides his loving relationship with his new bride and
Z3.
Say, yeah, Z3, okay. We get the El Camino.
I think it's a Z3.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, we wish you the very best.
All right, thanks, you guys.
Good luck, and enjoy the El Camino. You'll see.
It's a deal.
See you later.
All right, bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Connie in Bellingham.
Bellingham, Washington?
Yeah, that's right. You just had Steve on. I'm 90 miles north of him.
You know really? Steve?
No.
Would you like to meet him?
No.
He's happily married, Connie.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, what's up?
Well, I want to take a road trip.
Yeah?
An extended road trip, and I want you guys to help me decide what kind of car to go.
Oh, I thought you were looking for company.
Well, that too, actually. That too. No,
well, if you have a Z3, you can get Steve to go with you.
No, I want to drive to Rio de Janeiro.
No kidding.
Yeah. But I have two problems. One of the guidebooks said if you were driving in South America that they had kind of wimpy gas. They have gas with an 85 octane, and that it's often dirty, and that it wouldn't go well with high compression type engines. And I thought, oh, dear, should I buy a gasoline engine with an extra tank, or should I buy a dually thing with propane, or should I go diesel?
You could go diesel. Send me to listen to that racket from about 25,000 miles.
That's going to be a long drive. And then, beyond that, do you think I could get away with, like, a front-wheel drive minivan type thing, or should I go for sure with a four-wheel?
Well, I have the ideal vehicle in mind, but before we get there, why do you want to go? What's in Rio?
I haven't been there.
Well, you haven't been to Tierra del Fuego either, but you ain't driving there.
I'm a travel-holic, okay?
Yeah.
And I cruised around the world for about 6 years in a small sailboat, but that only goes 5 miles an hour. So I decided that I wanted to see South America, and the best way to do it was to drive. Now, I don't know how I'll get across the Panama Canal or if I will. I know I can ship a boat from Miami to Venezuela.
What about crossing the Panama Canal? The Mexicans are going to kill you, probably.
Well, I just spent a month in Mexico driving with my girlfriend, and she had a 94 Honda Accord, and we did awesome. We started with 125,000 miles on it, and it was great, and there was no problem. But I know I'm going to need higher clearance. It's something that maybe I could work on, and I thought maybe diesel would be a better idea.
Well, how do you know that? I mean, do you have any idea what kind of roads there are between Texas and Rio de Janeiro? I mean, have you got your triptychs from AAA?
Well, I got this awesome atlas.
Yeah.
So I have this wonderful atlas that has all these neat red lines. And, no, I'm doing homework. I'm not going to leave for about 9 months or so. So I'm going to have plenty of time to sort all this out.
It sounds really exciting.
Well, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I looked up on Travelocity to see what brands of cars they had.
Yeah, good.
Like in Brazil and stuff.
Right.
And they rattled off a bunch of Volkswagen models that we don't have, of course. And they also said that you could never take a car that you bought down there back to the States because it wouldn't meet code.
Right.
So I thought, does that mean they couldn't fix one if I took one down?
Well, that may mean that. I mean, my feeling about this kind of adventure is that it would be comforting if at any point you could abort.
Oh, yeah.
And if you invested $30,000 in a Nissan Pathfinder,
mm-hmm.
and you broke down someplace and they couldn't get the parts, you'd be stuck there until they fixed it.
Exactly.
On the other hand, if you had a $2,000 Nissan Pathfinder and they couldn't fix it, you'd say, it's yours.
Who cares?
And
that's right.
So I want
a used vehicle.
You want a very used vehicle.
And I was going to suggest that you buy it down there.
Well,
I would say that you drive whatever you've got down to Texas.
Miami.
And you park it.
To Miami?
Miami. And you park it in the Walmart parking lot.
Wait.
They won't bother you for at least 6 months.
That's a good idea.
And then you get on the boat at Miami.
You're going to take the boat.
So you leave your car in the Walmart parking lot in Miami.
Sure.
Yeah.
You take the boat to Venezuela. And when you get there, you buy a Volkswagen Thing.
I've driven a Thing.
Sure.
That's what you want.
Hey, how long a boat ride is it from Miami to Venezuela?
You know, I don't know. A couple of days, I would guess, by freighter.
A couple of days.
I mean, usually you freight up your car. You use a commercial freighter to go to Venezuela.
Yeah, you don't want to.
You're going to leave your car at Walmart. I'm telling you, that's the smart thing to do. and then you're going to work your way across. You're going to be like
a
coal shoveler.
A stevedore.
And you're going to get to Venezuela, and you're going to buy, when you get to Venezuela, you're going to buy some kind of, or maybe when you get to Brazil, you're going to buy yourself some kind of an indigenous
vehicle.
Creature.
You do whatever you're going to do with it. You drive back to that spot where because you have to get the boat,
and you go back to Walmart.
Right, whoever gives you 50 pesos, you take and tell them they can have it, and you get on the boat again.
Hey, well, that's a pretty good idea, but are you guys going to be available to tell me that I got the right kind of creature?
Yes, we're going to keep in constant communication. So as you get closer and closer to the time you're going to leave, you need to call us back. And then while you're on your trip, We'll have the Odyssey of Connie on our website.
I would love to know how that goes.
Well, I think it's going to be a kick. I think it's going to be really fun.
This is a great adventure.
Oh, I'm excited.
You're
about
nuts.
It.
But I wish you the very, very best.
Yeah, anything can happen in the next 9 months. I mean, you could be committed, for example, and you wouldn't be able to go on the trip. So that's possible.
Yeah, they may
too.
Catch you.
You'll take me back? No, not that.
Take you back to the home.
We'll be talking to you, Connie, I'm sure.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Good
Thank
luck.
You.
Bye.
Bye.
Boy, she sounds like a fun gal. I wish I could go. My wife's probably going to buy me a ticket already.
One way.
Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blooper Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Pritchard. Our engineer is John Carton Parati. And our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his triumph at the Greater Natchez Chili Dog Derby, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our document security expert from the island of Jamaica is Euripides Upman.
Hey!
Who is not related to
our
tailor.
He hasn't been around for ages.
Euripides Imenides.
Euripides.
Or to our staff bouncer, Euripides, I break your face. Or to the proprietor of our men's clothing shop, Euripides Euonides. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our staff archivist is Bernadette File. Our staff chaperone is Teresa Crowd. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Aurovindo. Our director of Pavlovian research is Isabel Ringing. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. The banker at Car Talk Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey. Known to the multilingual barflies in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
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 We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1311, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
This week at cartalk.com, a great alternative to trading in your old car. You can donate it for the benefit of your very own favorite NPR station and get a tax deduction, too.
And it's easy, right?
Oh, yeah. They even pick it up.
One phone call. It's like arranging to have somebody steal it. But it's legal. I love it.
That's the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. Details at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though cardiologists everywhere say, "Oh, pass the trans fat," whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.